Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax, and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Spear REIT released fairly encouraging first quarter metrics, with the focused strategy of owning Western Cape property paying off. But even the mother city is not immune from challenges, evidenced by metrics like a 15.5% vacancy rate in the office portfolio. Interestingly, the company highlights business process outsourcing as a major boost to the local office market, so things would be even worse without that sector. Convenience retail is another important part of the portfolio to highlight, with consistent occupancy rates but a negative reversion of -5.5% to help make that happen. Reversions have been the name of the game in the property sector, describing the difference between the rate on an expired lease and the rate on the lease that replaced it. In the same way that an airline can fill every seat every flight if the price is low enough, property funds can bring vacancies down if they are willing to suffer large negative reversions. Strategically, the answer is usually somewhere in the middle. The biggest challenge for Spear is actually the balance sheet, even though this is one of the best managed funds on the local market. The loan-to-value ratio has increased from 36.3% at the end of the 2023 financial year to 39.06% at the end of this quarter, and the weighted average cost of debt is up from 8.66% to 9.16%. Long story short, distributable income has dropped year on year, although the exact percentage for this quarter is not disclosed, thanks to pressure from debt costs on one side and macroeconomic realities on the other. Even Spear cannot escape the broader story. Moving on to another property fund, Attac. The company has agreed terms with the Government Employees Pension Fund for the acquisition of a 30% stake in Attac's Waterfall portfolio. This has been the major driver of the share price over the past year, giving me a rather delightful return on this one. The reason for the share price increase is that the price for the Waterfall deal is at a lower discount to net asset value or NAV than the listed shares will typically trade at. So instead of raising equity at a big discount at holding company level, Attac has effectively done it one layer down at a much better price, calculated based on adjusted NAV and a 15% discount, at a time when most property funds are trading at almost a 50% discount. There's more investment going into the Waterfall portfolio from this deal, with the Government Employees Pension Fund injecting a 300 million rand loan and Attac putting in 700 million rand to keep the loans in line with the equity percentage holdings. Importantly, Attac will also continue to provide asset, property, development and fund management services for the portfolio. The overall impact is a drop in group gearing from 38% to 26.3%, which is what I like to see in this high interest rate environment. Anglo Gold is busy with a corporate restructure that will see its primary listing move to the New York Stock Exchange. The company will also have inward listings on the JSE and A2X, as well as a secondary listing on the Ghana Stock Exchange. If it sounds very complicated, that's because it is. Basically, Anglo Gold wants to be seen as an international mining house, not a South African mining house. This is reasonable when you consider the underlying assets, and it also helps the company get closer to US-based institutional investors, an extremely deep pool of capital. Such a listing sure doesn't come cheap though, with advisory fees of a massive $60 million for this transaction. Yes, that is over 1.1 billion rand just to get this deal across the line. For reference, Anglo Gold's market cap is 161 billion rand. So in percentage terms, it's not too bad. And of course, that is exactly what advisors rely on to charge these kinds of fees. You would think it's pretty obvious based on its name, but Brickore is now focusing on bricks. The group has coal operations that are mainly there to ensure a supply of clay as the byproduct of the coal mining process. In today's edition of Did You Know, coal mining and brick making are linked. But Brickore has realized that its name is Brickore, not coal ore. Focusing on its strengths, the group has appointed TCQ Mining to come in and mine the coal on its behalf. This deal is so incestuous though that even Jerry Springer would have been nervous of it in his heydays, as Brickore holds a stake in TCQ and one of the other shareholders in TCQ is also a shareholder in Brickore. All details will be revealed in the Category 1 circular that will be sent to shareholders. The important point here is that the coal mining operations will now be profitable and cash flow positive for Brickore, with the ongoing supply of clay as a critical part of the deal. Mondi is a step closer to getting out of Russia, with the sale of three Russian packaging converting operations to GoTech Group for 1.6 billion rubles, which means around 30.4 million euros. Now, before shareholders get too excited about getting their hands on the cash, Mondi will only distribute the proceeds to shareholders once a full exit from Russia has been achieved. This means the Syktyvkar asset, or however you pronounce it, needs to be sold first. This one isn't so easy, unfortunately. It's about as hard to sell as it is to pronounce. And this is the most significant facility that Mondi has in the country. If you look at a share price chart, there's been a lot of volatility for Mondi since the catastrophic drop as war broke out, with traders making some good cash along the way if they got the timing right, and investors not having been rewarded for the risk if they bought the mother of all dips, because they've ended up pretty much sideways. Sector peer Sappi is also dealing with tricky disposals, though not as tricky as in Russia. The group wanted to sell three mills in Germany, but negotiations fell through. Now, two of the mills appear to be viable, but one of them is unlikely to be sold as a going concern. The future of the Stockstadt mill is the topic of conversation with various parties, including the Economic Works Council. The correct German word for that, or at least my attempt at it, is Wirtschaftsausschuss, which makes the Russian pronunciation sound like child's play. The decisions around these mills are part of Sappi's strategy to focus on certain products in Europe and not others, with this mill producing the pulp used in the production of wood-free paper for the European print market. We now move to the telecoms sector, where Telkom's board has rejected the proposal from Afrifund, Axian and the PIC. This is the consortium led by ex-Telkom CEO Sipho Maseko, just one of the examples of a recent suitor for the telecom business. Now, you may recall that MTN was sniffing around Telkom at one point, but no deal was concluded. There were also discussions with Rain, once again which came to nothing. Telkom's board is playing hard to get here, clearly filled with belief in the existing strategy as the best way forward for shareholders. The share price is down 23% in the past year alone, so that strategy is not working out very well thus far. And in truth, a support for the share price has been the potential for corporate activity, so if the market loses faith in the likelihood of a deal coming through, I foresee more pain for this one and the existing strategy looking even worse. We end off with RCL Foods, dealing with an issue that will be familiar to anyone who has managed a residential complex before. There are always owners who don't pull their weight financially by staying up to date with levies, putting pressure on everyone else. But in the sugar industry, that problem becomes very large indeed. I'm talking about a 234 million rand impact on RCL Foods alone, thanks to a special levy by the South African Sugar Association. The special levy has been necessitated by Tongaat Hulett not paying its statutory obligations, a deliberate decision by the business rescue practitioners that has attracted litigation to test the lawfulness of that decision. At RCL Foods, HEPS for the year ended June 2023 will be at least 30% lower, though you would never guess it from recent share price performance. It seems that the market may have been expecting even worse. And that's a wrap. Please remember that nothing you hear on the Ghost Rap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research and visit ghostmail.co.za for more insights into the market.